Now, yesterday on the programme, we brought you a report about a pricing dispute which has left some 35 children with a rare form of cystic fibrosis unable to access a life-changing drug called Kaftrio. Now, it has been passed for approval for their age group by the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, and has been available to an older age group here in Ireland. So there was an expectation that the younger patients would have access to that medication. But a standoff between the drug maker Vertex and the HSE is leaving some families and their children in limbo. And if you were listening yesterday, you might have heard our reporter Brian O'Connell, who spoke to Emma Fitzpatrick. She told him about her disappointment. Her 8-year-old son, James, has now been told that he won't have access to this medicine. And I'm joined now in the studio by Dr. Paul McNally, who's consultant in respiratory medicine with Children's Health Ireland and associate professor of paediatrics with the RCSI. And also I'm joined on the line by Gillian McNulty, cystic fibrosis patient and campaigner. And Gillian, I want to come to you first. Thanks very much for joining us. You were given this drug, isn't that right, when you were quite ill in hospital on compassionate grounds. Will you just explain that to us, the circumstances under which you got the drug?
Yeah, I had been in a coma in December, and then following April I went into hospital and I just started to get really, really sick. My CF just seemed to just go downhill really, really quick.
When was this? This was two years ago, was it?
I started in July 2020.
Okay.
But I had been in hospital for 3 months. The day I started it, my lung function was 13%. I was wheelchair bound. I could barely walk a few steps. I was on continuous oxygen. It really wasn't looking good for me because I'd been in hospital for 3.5 months at the time and literally nothing was working. No IVs, nothing. So my consultant had said to me, look, I'm going to try and get you Kaftrio and compassionate access. Now, at the time, to be honest, I really didn't think, I was hoping that it would do something for me, that it would bring me my lung functions up a bit, even get me off oxygen. But to be honest, I was quite apprehensive because I didn't think it could bring me back. But literally, I started it on a Thursday. And by the Sunday, I was running down the corridor to meet my mum and I hadn't been able to walk for months. I was off the oxygen within a couple of weeks. And right now, like fast forward to now, my lung functions are 41%. I'm obviously not in oxygen anymore. I got my feeding tube taken out. I haven't used a wheelchair. I haven't looked back from the day that I started Kaftrio.
And now, you attribute that to the drug?
Oh, without doubt. Without the drug, I wouldn't be here. I would have been dead within a couple of weeks. Without doubt. Now, look, I still have to do everything and it's not a cure. I mean, I've had pneumonia since, but that was treated at home with an oral antibiotic, which is unheard of for me. And I haven't been in hospital in 22 months from my start of the Kaftrio.
And that's so huge, isn't it? I mean, that tells us a lot.
That's amazing. Given how sick I was, given I'd nearly died, my last two admissions, to go from that to no hospital for 22 months is just incredible. The quality of life it's given me, it's just unbelievable. And I know for a fact I wouldn't be here without it. So it's so important that these kids get access to Kaftrio. It's not a cure and it won't work for everybody, but everybody at least deserves the chance to see if it can improve their quality of life.
And you were listening to Brian's report yesterday when we heard about Emma and her son James, and of course as one of the campaigners who helped secure the drug. Mm. When you listen to that, how does it make you feel when you hear about those children, the 35 who are denied access as things currently stand?
Oh, it's devastating. And I didn't get out and fight for 2.5 years for a small group of children to be denied access. I mean, that was hard work. And we all believed at the time that everybody would be included in the pipeline deal. And the fact that they're not now is just, it's absolutely devastating. And I know some of the parents personally, and they just, it's heartbreaking for them to know that something is just there within their grasp and they've been denied it. Like, I really do urge the HSE and Vertex to come together and ensure that these kids get access as soon as possible.
All right, well, let's,
because a couple of weeks can make such a difference. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't got Kaftrio on the 8th of July 2020. I would have been gone by the end of the month.
Gillian, do you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about a video that you posted on social media from the hospital, one of the first times that you were up and around and walking again. Mm. Do you remember that? That just the joy?
Oh, I remember I was doing the TikTok. Was it the TikTok
dance?
Yeah. And that was a Sunday with my mum. And my mum hadn't seen me walk in months. Like, I physically wasn't capable. Now, I know I'm a crap dancer, but I really didn't care because I was there doing
doesn't
the
matter.
Dance.
The dancing, that, the quality of the dancing didn't matter.
That I could do it. No, it didn't. The fact that I could actually breathe, to be able to do it, to be able to be out of my room and on the corridor was incredible. Like,
well, Gillian, stay with us because, as I said, Dr. McNally is with us as well. And we just want to get a handle on what's going on here. And hopefully you can explain it to us, Paul. The cohort, this really small group, 35 children. Why are they being treated differently from the others? Because there are lots of 6 to 12 year olds who are on this drug already, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. So there's the mutation that Gillian referred to, Delta F508, is the commonest CF mutation in Ireland. The biggest cohort of patients we have two copies of it. But there's other people then who have one copy and a copy of another mutation. And we call that group the het min group. So they have their, what we call heterozygous, one 508 and another mutation. So in the first modulators that were produced, like Orkambi, they worked really well if you had two copies, but they didn't work if you only had one copy.
Orkambi is another drug.
Exactly, Orkambi, yeah. It was the first modulator before Keftrio that was approved. So the thought at the time was that you really had to have two copies for these drugs to work. But when Keftrio was brought out, it worked also if you only had one mutation. And so that's what makes these kids a little bit different. The supposition at the start of the development of the drug was that it really wouldn't affect them much, but in fact it's been really beneficial.
And so it does work.
It does. There's no question that it works. They wouldn't get an EMA license if it doesn't work. The clinical trials have demonstrated that it works really well.
So what's your understanding of the justification to give it to them?
It's very difficult for me to understand because the children in the 12 and over age group were included. So, you know, the inference was that they were part of the pipeline deal because they were included at the time. So I can't understand why it's something different for the children aged 6 to 11. And that's what, as clinicians and parents, we're all kind of scratching our heads, you know, trying to figure out why this is the case. But from what we see in the media and the official reports that have come out, this is a pricing issue. So that the company and the HSE are arguing mm-hmm. over price.
So tell me what this has been like from your point of view, because you're the one communicating this decision, right, with the parents and the families.
Yeah, I mean, it's of little relevance to me. I'm only the communicator. I mean, what's really of importance is the families. They have been, you know, with all good faith, everybody expected this just to be rolled out like it was in the children aged 12 and above. So there was the expectation. Everybody was talking about it. It's got such a fantastic reputation as a drug. So, I mean, that expectation, and nobody was mitigating that in any way, because we were all convinced, everybody across the board, that it was just a natural process that it was coming. So these parents have been putting a huge amount of work in. They've been building themselves up. They've been really looking forward to it. And now what they find is other children aged 6 to 11 who have two copies of the 508, they're getting it. And other kids who are aged 12 and above with one copy of the 508, just like them, they got it as well. But these kids aren't getting it. So it's really, really, I mean, it's doubly cruel for these families.
When these children reach the age of 12, will they get this drug?
Yes, as it stands currently, yeah, absolutely. If you were a month less than 12 today, okay, you'd be getting it in a month.
But the time, say if you're age 6 or 7 now and you have to wait until you're 12, what sort of damage are we talking about?
So, I mean, that's the if we stand back looking at the bigger picture in CF, we've got these phenomenal drugs now. And the account that Gillian just gave there was really stunning. You know, they are incredibly effective. But if you've already got lots of permanent organ damage, they won't fix the permanent organ damage. They'll just bring you back operationally in your day-to-day health. They'll bring you back to some level of normality. So really, you've got two cohorts of people, a cohort of adults who already have permanent organ disease, lung and liver and bowel. And then you've got children who are, some of them in the process of developing it, and some of them, the parents have been working incredibly hard to prevent any progression, and they don't have a lot of permanent disease. And we can see if we can try and prevent that. So that's really where the holy grail in CF is getting them at newborn screening and starting these drugs before the disease has a chance to develop permanent injury.
And is the risk then, if you're asking these children to wait until they're 12, the risk is that that damage will happen in that period of time?
Yes, it will. It's not a risk. It's a reality.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Cystic fibrosis is a progressive disease. Despite everybody doing their best, it will get worse over time. So there is no question about that. It's just the amount of time. And that's why, you know, the clock is ticking and we are really desperate to to get these drugs into children as soon as we can, because we know they're coming. If we look at, there's another drug called Ivacaftor, which was the first drug actually that was available. It's now in clinical trials in newborn babies. So it was the first modulator that Vertex produced, and it's come all the way down, 6 to 11, 2 to 5, 1 to 2. And now it's between birth and 4 months. And we have a lot of children in Crumlin on the clinical trial for that. So come the next few months, or the next year or so, we will be prescribing it from birth, from newborn screening for these babies. And that's the hope we have for Caftrio as well, that in due course, you'll get somebody from newborn screening and you'll start them on the drug there.
So your ambition as a clinician is to have this pipeline of drugs.
Absolutely.
From birth the whole way through.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now what we're seeing is, because of this situation, the pipeline is broken and could be broken for these 35 patients for 6 years in some cases.
Yeah, that's the huge worry for us, is that, you know, and in fact, this pipeline deal really was the envy of a lot of other countries. And I think the HSE is to be congratulated on that. It was a really fantastic idea, and it's been replicated in other European countries since. And it gave us an enormous level of, you know, certainty and clarity about the rollout of these new drugs. And this has just created a huge amount of unnecessary stress and anxiety. Now we're kind of wondering what's happening next and where are we going. But if we stand back and look at the bigger picture, what we're all about really is waiting till these drugs come through all the way from birth. And so the pipeline and getting clarification on the sign off and approval for these drugs is really massive for us. If we have that level of certainty, I mean, it's massive for parents.
Okay. And you, given that you're the one communicating, have you tried to get answers? You know, because I'm sure you're sitting across the table from parents who are asking you what's gone on, what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, all we can do through the CF program, there's a national clinical program for CF led by Charlie Gallagher. And so that's the national kind of body representing the clinical infrastructure for cystic fibrosis. And we've issued a statement and we've shared that with the primary care reimbursement scheme. We've made it very clearly known what our position is on this. And that's very much that there can't be any break in the provision of these drugs to these children.
Okay, well, we had a statement from the HSE yesterday on the programme, and we also got in touch with Vertex for a comment. And let's take a look now at what the drug company had to say. And I'm going to bring it to you in full. The innovative long-term reimbursement agreement between Vertex and the HSE that was completed in 2017 has allowed Irish CF patients to be some of the first in Europe to gain rapid access to the latest approved Vertex medicines. A small number of patients in the 6 to 11-year-old patient population with specific genotypes who are eligible under the EMA license for Caftrio were not included in the original reimbursement agreement, as science has moved on. And over the years, since the initial agreement was signed, the knowledge and data regarding which of our medicines demonstrate clinical value to CF patients has evolved considerably. Can you translate that for me, Paul, before I move on to the rest of the statement?
I mean, it's a little bit vague, but perhaps what they're getting at is, I mean, what I referred to the outset, that at the time that Orkambi was approved, it really only worked for people who had two copies of 508. Okay. And that would have been at the time where the pipeline deal was signed. But what doesn't make sense then is that the children aged 12 and above with one mutation were included in the pipeline.
Okay, so now we know that this works for all of the children.
Absolutely,
with CF.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on in the statement. Vertex is looking to extend the agreement to include these patients and allow reimbursed access quickly in a manner consistent with the existing contract. We stand ready to resolve this as quickly as possible and remain committed to progressing these discussions with urgency. And just a reminder that the HSE has said the application for pricing and reimbursement of this further subset of the licensed population for Caftrio remains under consideration with the HSE. The HSE cannot make any additional comment on possible outcomes from the ongoing process at this time. But both of you, and Gillian, you might come in here, will say, I'm sure, that this needs to be resolved, and it needs to be resolved really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, as I said to you, a couple of weeks can make such a dramatic difference. And Caftrio, without doubt, does transform lives. And my hope is that they do just get onto this quickly and ensure that the 35 kids are included. Because, I mean, Claire, right now it's the 6 to 12-year-olds. In another few months, it'll be the 2 to 5-year-olds. So we need to make sure that all kids under 12 are included in the pipeline deal or added to the pipeline deal so that they get access as soon as possible, so that they don't have to be fighting because one infection can turn CF into a dramatic decline.
Okay. Well, Gillian, thank you for joining us on the programme and I wish you well. Continued good health to you. Paul, I want to ask you about something else in the headlines today. We know tens of thousands of medical procedures and appointments are being cancelled today and tomorrow because of the strike action by medical scientists. Is that affecting your work? Is it affecting cystic fibrosis patients?
It is, yeah. We work really closely with our colleagues in medical lab science. We have a weekly CF meeting and the lab scientists attend the meeting and we discuss test results. And of course, newborn screening for cystic fibrosis relies on us doing a sweat test and genetic test, and they're all done with, by our colleagues in medical lab science. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's, you know, very significant on the ground effects of this strike. And again, we're like really supportive of our colleagues and we would really push for a resolution of this as soon as possible. You know, one day here or there, you know, you can get over, but repeated withdrawals of services that have to be put in place because of this. I mean, it really hurts clinical practice. Okay. So.
Bennett has been in touch with us and we've heard from Bennett before. This drug has transformed my life. Less hospitalizations, lung function up 25%, weight up 14 kg. Caftrio needs to be available to everyone regardless of their age. Another one, my son was given this drug in 2020 and like Gillian, it was like night and day. My son noticed the difference within a few days. He'd only been in hospital once since. Prior to that, he was in hospital for very prolonged periods, maybe up to 6 weeks at a time, says Mary. And you'd back up those views on this drug, would you?
I mean, some of the stories are just really phenomenal. And then, you know, we're carrying out a kind of a Ireland and UK real world study looking at RECOVER. And if we look very specifically at the children with two copies of 508, almost half of them now have a sweat chloride test, which is the diagnostic test for CF that's in the normal range. So, I mean, this is really unheard of to get that level of positive function from a drug that targets mm-hmm. basic defect.
So once they're on this drug, they're testing, you're testing them for CF and the result is showing you what?
That they don't have cystic fibrosis. Well, sorry, let me clarify that and just be very
careful. So their result will be the same as my result?
It wouldn't be quite the same, but it's in the normal range.
Okay, that's extraordinary.
That's about 40% of people in the 12 and over age group. So this is something that we were surprised to see. It's come out recently in some of the clinical trials. But what it does is it shows you just the extent of the improvement you can get with that. And it mirrors the story, the likes of what Gillian was saying. But if you stop taking it, the next day your sweat test is back to the same level. So it's a maintenance.
It's an extraordinary thing, really, because cystic fibrosis, we all know what it meant in the years up to now, but it's changing so rapidly, isn't it? The treatment around it, the expectations.
It really is. And when we're talking to parents, you know, we have babies diagnosed with CF through newborn screening all the time. And we're talking to parents now. It's a completely different conversation than it was when I started in this 20 years ago, where, you know, it was a really, really serious story that you were telling them. There was a, you know, a guaranteed decline over time, and it was really trying to, you know, plug the holes as they got sicker and sicker over time. Now, I mean, the median survival for somebody with cystic fibrosis born today, not even accounting for any for future progress, is in the 50s, whereas when I started, it was in the 20s. So it's come on. And really, in the last 10 years, it's just been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's a phenomenal change and may it continue. Yeah. And let's hope that this situation gets resolved too. Paul, thank you very much for coming in. That's Dr. Paul McNally. And my thanks also to Gillian McNulty. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.